1994, Helen Edwards interviewing Sandy Coleman for Highfields Remembered. Ah, Sandy, can you tell me when and where you were born, please?
Yes, I was born 25th of August 1944, and I was born in Bond Street, but my parents lived in Biddulph Avenue, off Biddulph Street, Highfields.
Had your parents lived in Highfields for long?
They lived there just after they got married. They bought a house, and that must have been about 3 years, 3 years before I was born.
And did you have family in the area as well?
Yes, we had an aunt that lived off of the East Park Road, and she'd got a family, you know, children and that there.
Are your parents both from Leicester?
Yes. My father's from Wharf Street and my mother's from Merrydale Road, which isn't there anymore, but it's...
Are those both in the Highfields area?
No, no. Humberston Road area is Merrydale Road, and the centre of town is Wharf Street.
Can you remember the house that you lived in?
Yes, I can, very clearly. It was a little cottage, which sounds very nice and grand, but it was just a row of terraced cottages, two up, two down, with shared yard, toilet and tap. There was no traffic at all. It was a cobbled stone little avenue, and we actually, the front of our houses, we had a small front garden, then you had the cobblestones, and then we were actually facing the backs of Mere Road.
Oh.
The back garden and their gates came onto our avenue.
How many children were in the family?
Just two.
Just two.
Me and my sister.
Yeah. Did you have your own toilet?
No.
Was it a shared one?
It was a shared toilet and shared tap when we first lived in the house. And then my parents... We had... although it was a shared yard, there was a path outside of the front, the back doors, that went the full length of the yard, but my parents fenced off a little area that was theirs, where my dad used to breed rabbits. And then later on, when they could afford it, they had a toilet plumbed in and we had water laid on in the house, so we didn't have to share toilets or taps.
Yeah. Did you play out in the street?
Yes, when we were young, we weren't allowed to go out of the avenue, which was safe because, as I say, there was nowhere for traffic to go. It was a dead end.
Yeah.
It was just an entry at the bottom. And there wasn't very much traffic. I mean, my dad had a combination, motorbike combination, the latter years of my teenage years. But in the early days, there just wasn't the transport about. I mean, people used to ride the bikes. My dad used to go to work on a bike.
Where did he work locally?
He worked for Russell's Foundry, which is near the Holiday Inn.
Oh, yeah. And did your mother work?
Yes, my mother worked at Brevitt's, which was locally. It was on the corner of Nedham Street, the factory that burnt down not so long ago. That used to be Brevitt's years ago, shoe industry. My dad's an iron moulder. And my mum worked, she was a sample machinist in the shoes.
So who looked after you?
Well, my mum did work at home for when we were very young. Mm. We used to have, if you can imagine, I had a bedridden grandma in the front room. And then in the living kitchen, we had my mum's big industrial machine. And we used to have a big tin bath that we used to have out in that kitchen as well, and two children. You can imagine how it was only a very, very small house, you know. I mean, how on earth my mum coped, I don't know. But she used to do this machining at home when we were very young,
what
so that we were
machine,
there.
Was it?
I don't really know very much about shoes. It had a wheel. It had a wheel and the needle used to go down.
So she actually sewing the shoes up?
Oh, yes. She was...
Wasn't finishing or anything?
No. She was a machinist.
Making the shoes?
Yeah, sample machinist. She used to do the samples for Brevitt's.
Oh, right. So she'd get a pattern and she'd make it up at home?
No, they'd the shoe was already cut out. Yeah. I know that they had clickers that cut the shoes out. And they used to come, I can remember these flat pieces of leather in the half shape of a shoe that were tied together. And my mum used to join, the piece that went on the inside was separate, yeah. And then the front and the side up to the back seam, yeah. was all in one. And she used to put those together. And she used to do fancy, if they had bows and things like that, she used to do that sort of machining on the shoes.
Were they women's shoes?
Yes,
did
yes.
Did she finish the complete shoe, or did they have to go and get their sole done and stuff?
I think it's like in a lot of industries. In the shoes, you had people that specialised in doing that part of the shoe. I mean, she didn't do anything with linings. I can remember that because my auntie was the forelady at Brevik's. My mum was the machinist. And I've often been into Brevik's factory as a child and always found it fascinating how the shoe was made up. And I've actually watched it. I can remember roughly what happened to it. But they had, like, a toe used to be laminated inside the shoe and then a lining laminated on. But my mum had done this fancy stitch work first.
Yeah, while the leather was flat.
Yeah, and then it's put on a last. And, you know, it goes through all different stages.
So were they delivered to the house?
Yes.
And then collected, ready, done? Yeah. Was that well paid?
I shouldn't imagine so. Mm. I shouldn't think so. And it ruined my mum's eyes because the only place that she could have a machine was like in the middle of the house, you know, where the wall was in between the front room and the living kitchen. And although she had a big lamp on the machine, I think that's what ruined my mum's eyes, definitely, because it was very, very small, tedious work.
And then she moved when you were older into the factory to do the
that's
same
right,
thing.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. How old would you have been then?
Oh, dear. Well, she had... I must have been when we went to the senior school, because up until then... she used to take me speech therapy 3 times a week. Well, she wasn't at Brevik's working then.
Yeah.
And that was during school time. So, I mean, it must have been after I started the senior school.
Do you remember starting the infant school?
Oh, I do. I remember the infant days very, very well. I went to Medway Street School. Started in the infants, I understand, at the age of 4. I can't remember what age I started. And the things that stick in my mind most is that every afternoon we used to have to lay on these sort of fold-up beds and have a sleep every afternoon. And I used to lay there, my mind used to be going over and over and used to pretend to be asleep. And it was a complete and utter waste of time to me. And we used to have cod liver oil, which I hated. I can remember things I hate in the nursery. And in my juniors, I can remember the things that I hate more than the things that I loved. I had problems at school because I had a speech impediment, and in those days they didn't quite know what to do with me, so I was like a bit of a burden to whichever teacher had got me at the time, and really I was like left to play or do what I wanted while the rest of the class got on with work. Because I couldn't talk, they couldn't understand me. If they needed to understand what I was saying, my sister's 2 years older than me, and she was fetched from whichever class, and she used to do the translating because my sister and my mum were the only two that could understand me. I did improve, and I've improved greatly. but I went to speech therapy for quite a few years. I used to go to, I can't remember the name of the house, but it was a big house on the left-hand side down the Welford Road before you get to the prison.
So this was a separate, not a hospital?
Wasn't
therapy,
a hospital, no. It was something to do
one.
With... not private. It was something to do with local authority.
Yeah.
And it was them that actually got me... I had an operation on my adenoids, which... Whether that just was a coincidence that at that time things started to improve. But my parents spent a lot of time trying to teach me to speak. and they had like help from the speech therapy people as well. But I've still got blockages now. There are certain words I can't say, come out back to front, and it has, my spelling hasn't improved over the years despite my husband's hard work.
Do you remember the teachers at school?
Yeah, I can't remember my teachers. I can only remember a Mr. Fletcher in my junior school, at Medway Street Junior School. And Mr. Fletcher was very, very kind. Because obviously having a problem like that, often I was not treated nicely by the other children. And often treated as if I was an idiot by those children's parents. And I think my disability has helped me now perhaps be more tolerant of other people's disability. And it makes things that happen in your childhood make you what you what you turn out to be as an adult. But I can remember other kids being quite cruel, and my sister really protecting me. And Mr. Fletcher, I was in his class for 2 years, and I was actually in his class when I was made to take the 11 plus, which was a complete farce because I couldn't read and write, but I still by law had to take the 11 plus. And my sister was clever, and she'd already passed her 11 plus, and she was at Collegiate Girls. And I found it very, very difficult coping myself with a speech impediment and all that was tied in with that, and following in my sister's footsteps, who was very clever.
Especially if she'd left the school.
Yes, and, and Mr. Fletcher just sticks in my mind because he was so very, very kind. And he spent a lot of time with me. He was about the only one I can remember that put himself out and spent a lot of time with me. And my mum used to go regularly to the school, you know, and have discussions with Mr. Fletcher. And that's when I seemed, I had my operation and the speech therapy started to work, and Mr. Fletcher's help, and things started to get together. So by the time I went to my senior school, you know, I hadn't got such an impediment, although it was still there. It was a lot easier. And although I couldn't write very well and my spelling was atrocious, you know, I could at least get through. And it was like trying to catch up on all the years I'd missed, which even now I think I'm still trying. At 50, I think I'm still trying to catch up, and obviously I'm never going to make it. But I've done a lot. But it's those years are so important.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a big improvement in schools nowadays to what it used to be. I mean, there just wasn't the knowledge that there is now. You know, my daughter's a teacher now, and I know what she gives to her children, and I just think, well, if I had a teacher like that when I was young, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what I remember of. I can remember playing.
Out in the street?
Oh, yeah. I remember playing in the street. So Whip and Top was one of our favourites. I mean, we used to play Whip and Top. Every Easter, we used to have a new Whip and Top. And my dad's very clever with his hands. He still is. And he used to make us these beautiful tops. And he used to decorate all the tops of them so that when they spun round, we'd got the best ones because our colours were brilliant. And I can remember, you know, we used to play skipping, we used to play ball and get into trouble because in the avenue where the house on first house on Bidulph Street was, that was a huge wall into the avenue, and we used to all play ball, double ball up against that, or we used to tiss up and do against the wall. You know, we used to use walls to play with. Oh, it was brilliant, this wall. I can remember my auntie, we used to call our neighbours aunties and uncles. It was disrespectful to do anything other. And I can remember my auntie Madge coming out and playing hell with us. We'd all run off, you know, because all she could hear, I can understand it now, was bang, bang, bang from these balls going up or our feet going up. We used to have great fun when I was old. older, and I was allowed to actually play in the street with the entries. If you know the Highfields area, you know that houses are back to back, and you go down in between the terraced houses is an entry, and you go to the bottom of that entry, and there's another entry along the bottom that actually leads to everyone's back garden. Well, there's a wall in between these two entries from one street to the next street, so you could actually go just from one street to another street to another street without actually coming in contact with streets except to cross them.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're playing hide and seek, it used to be brilliant. We'd have great fun just going through these entries. And I can remember the accidents that I've had as well, you know, split my head open, falling off the wall, climbing over in my rush to get in before they actually spotted me. But oh, we had great fun playing. We used to have naughty games as well, which must have been infuriating for the people that lived there. But on Bedore Street, we used to tie the knockers on the doors together, and as you knocked one door, obviously you'd pulled it tight, so the other door rattled as well, and then we'd run down an entry and just stand and watch as these two people came out at the same time, realised that it was the kids. We used to do things like that, which, you know, I mean, if kids did that to me today, I'd be fuming. We used to go scrumping. Well, we used to go to, we're lucky, living in Highfields. When I was like perhaps 11 and 12, during school holidays, my mum used to pack us up with a bottle of water and jam sandwiches, and we'd walk up to the golf course at Evington.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd spend the majority of our holidays at Evington on the golf course. And we used to spend hours and hours picking up golf balls. Not golf balls that were actually being played with.
These were
lost golf balls. And we used to take them. They used to encourage us to do it because we used to take them back and they'd give us a penny for so many golf balls. And anyway, there was it was funny because there was this house that belonged to a Mr. and Mrs. Fletcher, and we used to go scrumping their apples. And once we got caught, and this policeman took me all the way from Evington, me and my friend took us all the way home, and I can remember the fear when he was knocking on my front door delivering me to tell my mother that I'd been caught scrumping. Anyway, after I got married, I actually bought one of Mr. Fletcher's houses, and I actually live in it still to this day. And I didn't realise who the Mr. Fletcher was until after I bought this house, but it was Fletcher's the Builders, whose apples I used to scrump.
What happened to you?
Well, I got a good telling off from this policeman, and an even worse telling off my mum, and I was tied to the house for I don't know how long, I can't remember. And I know I thought it was very unfair because the friend that I was with, we both got caught doing the same thing. And really, I think she got a good telling off, or she even perhaps got a slap, I don't know. I didn't get the slap because my parents didn't believe in hitting us. But I had to stop in for a tidy time, and she was out playing, and she used to come and call for me, and my mother was saying, no way is she allowed out the house. And I thought I was really hard done to. But we used to make entertainment, like, I can't remember the year, I think it was perhaps 1954, I'd be about 10, and there were terrible floods on the East Coast, and it's the first time I got my photograph and my name in print. I held a stall in the street, and I went round to all my aunties and uncles' houses that lived next door and along the avenue, asking for things that they no longer used. Mm. And I held this stall and had a sale. And I made, I don't know how much money, not knowing that what I was doing was illegal. And I don't know how the Mercury found out about it, but my mum took me with the money that I'd raised to wherever it was you paid in to this fund, and they found out that I'd been selling on the streets, and my mother was told that that was illegal. I must have a registered, sealed collection box to put the money in, etc. Yeah. And the Mercury got hold of it, and they did a big splash in the Mercury about this 10-year-old girl that had tried her best and broken the law, sort of thing. But, you know, that, we often used to do things like that and enjoy doing it. Like, I've always liked elderly people, and I've always gone and done elderly people's shopping. I used to enjoy doing it. I've permed people's hair. I mean, when I think now, you know, at 12 years old, I used to regularly perm people's hair. I mean, I'd never trust a 12-year-old to perm my hair.
Were you in the guides or the brownies?
I was in the brownies. I didn't join the guides, I think, because my sister left the guides. But I think it had she have stayed in the guides. But when it was my age to move into the guides, she had left, so I decided not to. I don't think I enjoyed the brownies that much. What I enjoyed better than the brownies, I used to go to the brownies, I can't remember the name of the church, on Evington Road, church on the corner, and I can't think what the name of it is. But when I didn't go to the guides, I joined a youth club at Melbourne Hall. And it was church run, because in those days, my sister and I were forced, every Sunday we had to attend church. And although my parents aren't highly religious, they felt strongly that we should attend church every week, sort of thing. And then when we were 15, we were allowed to decide for ourselves whether we went to church or not. And my mother wouldn't let me join. There was on Door Road, there was off East Park Road, there was a youth club being held there in this hall. My mum went down and had a look and decided no, that wasn't for us. But she did allow us to join the one at the church at Melbourne Hall, and that was brilliant, because I mean, we didn't like the bit where we had to have a, like a little tiny prayer and what have you at the beginning. But after that was over, the activities were really, really good, and they were organised activities, and I was always quite good with my hands, and we used to have like what I call arty crafty type things to do, and I really enjoyed that. That was smashing.
How old was that?
I should say I'd be about 11, 12.
And you went on till you left?
Yes, days? Well, I met my husband at 14. I mean, by 14 I'd outgrown it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I grew up very quick, very early, and I don't know whether it was because my sister and I were so close. She's 2 years older, nearly 3 years older than me. And so as she did things, I went along. And it wasn't that she had to put up with a younger sister tagging along. We were good friends then, the same as now. She's my best friend now. Yeah. She was when I was young as well, you know.
Oh, nice.
Nice to have a sister that is your best friend. It's lovely. And we always have got on well. You know, my parents were very, very fortunate that me and my sister were as close as we were, and I've always said that. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. But talking about playing, I nearly forgot. I lived just up the hill from Spinney Hill Park. Spinney Hill Park was, to me, huge when I was young, absolutely huge. And I didn't go back, after I left Highfields, I didn't go back for years. Then I actually took my children on a tour of Highfields. They wanted to see where I was born and played as a small child. And they'd heard about Spinney Hill Park and the tobogganing and everything that went with Spinney Hill Park, and about this wonderful pavilion that we'd got there. And so I took my children along, and I couldn't believe how small Spinney Hill Park is, how small the streets all were. And when I got to the avenue where I used to live, only half the houses are there. The rest was just rubble. The other end of the avenue has all been knocked down. And my Auntie Margaret, who lived next door, I couldn't believe it. There was all barbed wire, all rolled, all round her windows, upstairs and downstairs. And I didn't knock on the door, but no one was in, or she wasn't answering. She wouldn't have recognised me had she have looked through the window. But that sort of broke my heart to put, because everyone in the avenue, there was like, I think they were a little bit clicking, and people on Bedell Street thought we were all stuck up in the avenue, because for the coronation we had our own little street party. We didn't join in Bedell Street, we had our own in the avenue, and everyone used to care for those little cottages. They were really well loved.
Mm.
And then to go back all those years afterwards and to see half of them gone, it's heartbreaking, because you know, I've had a nice childhood. Apart from the problems with my speech impediment, I had a really nice childhood, and I've got happy memories of Highfields. But Spinney Hill Park was magic, and when it snowed, as I said, my dad is clever with his hands, and he made us, oh, we've had some really, really good sledges. And it used to be front page of the Mercury every time there was snow. You never see it. So whether the kids don't take the toboggans, or whether they're not
they
even
do
allowed.
Park. Do
they? Mm. But it's a terrific hill, you see. And there used to be hundreds of us there. And it wasn't just the kids. My mum and dad used to come as well. You know, and aunts and uncles. And it'd be a big family outing. It was great. And then the pavilion, I don't even know if it's there now. But when I went back, I couldn't believe this beautiful pavilion I'd told the kids about at the top of the hill. And such a shame, because I remember the architecture of that, the shape of it. I mean, not the architecture, as much as, you know, your childhood memories of the shape of this pavilion. And I described it to the kids. And when we got there, they were kind of, is this what she's on about? You know, I couldn't believe it. And we used to go, there's a brook runs through Spinney Hill Park, and you can follow this brook for miles and miles. I think it goes all the way through Leicester.
Mm.
I mean, I think it comes out at Belgrave somewhere. But we used to follow this brook going towards Evington, and where it goes over the under the road, there was to stop children like me following the brook through, because obviously it could have been dangerous. There was where the archway was, and the road was over the top, like the bridge. There was all metal rails to stop you going through, but I didn't do it myself. But obviously, other kids had broken these rails, so you could get through. And I mean, it was a definite no-go area from my parents. But both me and my sister used to go. And I can remember one of us slipping in once. It was my sister, actually. And we had to go round a friend's house and try and wash my sister's socks and a dress and try and get them dry, because my mother would have known that we'd been in the brook, and she would have, well, she'd have had us in the house for another month, you know, without leaving. Yeah, it was great.
Did you go off to the park for the day then, take the sandwiches and...
No, not Spinney Hill Park, because Spinney Hill Park was
close.
Literally just up the Eggington Hill, and where I lived, it was called the Five Ways, where St Peter's Road and Eggington Hill and Mere Road all joined up. Well, there was an entry. There was a shop called the Sunkist on the corner with an entry at the side. And if you went down that entry, that actually brought you to the dead end part of the avenue that I lived in. So Spinney Hill Park was so close that, I mean, even if you'd only got half an hour to play, you'd got time to go down to Spinney Hill Park and play.
Did you come into Leicester at all?
Not until I was older.
No.
I mean, I can remember coming into Leicester shopping with my mum.
But would that just be clothes shopping, or your food shopping? Would
not
done
food.
Locally?
All food shopping was done locally.
Yeah
we had quite good shopping area, because we got shops on the Evington Road, which were very good. The Five Ways was all shops round there. On Bedell Street, I mean, on the corner of Laurel Road and Bedell Street, we had a shop that sold everything under the sun. You can't imagine. And over the road from that was an off-licence. everything you needed was there. Butchers, post, I can remember the post office on Mere Road. Yeah, you didn't need to go into Leicester. I say, we used to walk into Leicester. We never used to catch a bus. We used to walk into Leicester and do shopping for shoes and things like that. But food, no, we bought that locally.
What about the pictures?
Oh, the Evington Cinema. Who can live without the Evington Cinema? I'm so pleased they've kept the frontage. Now, my mum worked at the Evington Cinema. And I can't fit it in when she actually worked there. But she actually did cleaning at the Evington Cinema. And because she worked there, we used to get into the... There used to be a Tupney Rush on a Saturday that all the kids used to go to. And me and my sister didn't have to pay because my mum worked there. I can't remember his name. Well, we used to call him the owner, but it was most probably the manager. His name's gone. But he was great. I mean, I've been up into the top and I've had a look where the projector room was and that, and I've been back